Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to speak to you on the subject, the doctrine of election. Election is a very important doctrine of the Bible. We could not go to heaven were it not for the fact that God elected to save us. We could not save ourselves. There is nothing, no act of goodness, no act of mercy, no act of kindness that could redeem us from our fallen nature. It took an act of God. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read from verses 3 to 13. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, I ask that you would just remove from me anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding, open our hearts, that we might receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to look with me very carefully at verses 3 through 9. This is the doctrine of election. He says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at this little phrase, in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, God made a decision what he was going to do with sinners like us, because he knew we would sin. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. God does not have to wait for the passing of time. He knows what will be in the future. He knows what has been in the past because he lives in the eternal present. And so knowing all of this, he knew that before he made man, man would sin. And so he had to make a decision what he was going to do about that. And in his sovereignty, he elected to redeem us in Christ Jesus. And so we are eternally blessed in Christ. Now, we'll be looking in a minute at the scope of that, but I want you to see that God, it was God's decision to do that. He determined before the foundation of the world, before we ever needed salvation, to save us through the blood of his Son. He also elected to send us to hell in Adam. Everyone who is in Adam when they die physically will spend eternity in the lake of fire. By election. Everyone who is in Christ when they leave this world will spend eternity with God, eternally blessed in Christ because of election. Now let's look at the next verse. According as he hath chosen us in him, don't miss that, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, it is totally by God's grace that we are saved. We do not help God save us. We simply receive a free gift. or we reject that free gift. And that gift is a gift of grace, and that grace is able to completely save us because of God's election. He has predestined us in Christ Jesus to be eternally blessed in heaven. Now, don't misconstrue in your mind that he is choosing certain of us. He chose all of us. And don't misconstrue in your mind that he chose some of us to go to hell. He chose all of us in Adam. You see, we all started in Adam. Amen? We're all sinners. And until we became in Christ, we were on our road to hell. And all those that are in Adam have the right by election to be in Christ. And I'll show you that in a minute. Now notice he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The Bible says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel so the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. You see, God's grace will be praised throughout all eternity. And we're not going to sing how great I art when we get to heaven. We're going to only look to Jesus because he is the only one who deserves praise. If we deserve what we get, if we get what we deserve, we would all go to hell because we all are sinners. Some of us are sinners saved by grace. Some of us are still sinners on our road to hell. And all through the world, there are sinners of both kinds. And God knows the difference. And God presents to each one the opportunity to be saved. Now he says here, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You see, the way it is delivered to us is by his will. Now, we have to find out what that will is. A lot of people have got messed up thinking that this means that God just randomly chose. But that's not what he's saying here at all. He says, I did it according to my will. Now, we have to go on in the Word to find out what his will is. He establishes his authority in Exodus. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19 says this, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That simply says, I'm in charge. I will do whatever I want to do. It is my job and your job through the Word, as God reveals the mystery of his will to us, to discern his will and to understand how he's going to dispense his salvation. Because he is in charge. He has the authority to do with us whatever he will. And therefore, we must find out his will and get in his will so that we can miss the complete destruction of our body and soul in hell. Now, next I want you to see his ability. This is something that has always amazed me. How that God can do two things in one person. You see, in Romans chapter 9, verse 18 through 21, he says this, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Now listen to this verse. This is a key. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? You see, in every one of us, there is the election to hell and the election to heaven. In every one of us, there is the predestination to hell and the predestination to heaven. Both those things abide in every one of us. And God has laid it out before us. Now look at Revelation 22, verse 17. I'll show you the availability that God has made of his salvation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the availability of God's grace. It is for every man, every boy, every girl, every woman. It is for everybody. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. That is the will of God. And God has established that will. Now let's look at the extent of the election. Verses 10 and 11 of our text says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, he's going to establish that will for us. What is the will of God? What is the will of God in your life? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let me tell you what it is, because he makes it real clear. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, he says, and this is the will of him that sent me. This is Jesus speaking. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the will of the Father. And he works all things after the counsel of his own will. What is his will? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the will of God. And it will be no other way than God's way. Now let's look at the world. 1 Timothy 4:10 says this, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. You see, Jesus died on the cross for everybody, even the ones who were already burning in hell, because before they died and went to hell, he made them the same offer of salvation that he makes to us. And he died for everyone because in the mind of God, every one of us was redeemable. He said, it's not my will that any should perish. Listen to what he's saying. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's will. God wants you in heaven, folks. He wants me in heaven. He wants everybody in heaven. That's the reason he sends us to tell people about Jesus. Because there's a hell to miss, and there's a heaven to gain. Now I want you to see the welcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23 says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now I want you to see something here. How many died in Adam? All. Every member of Adam's race died in Adam. You see, when Adam sinned, every member of Adam's race was still in the loins of Adam, and they participated, I should say, we participated in his sin. And so as our corporate head, he represented us, and we sinned in Adam, and every one of us became sinners through Adam's transgression. By the same exact opposite example, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was representative for every one of us. You see, we were all in Christ on the cross. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I want you to see two groups. Here's the group over here that is in Adam, and in Adam all die. Now that's not talk about physical death, that's talk about hell. In Christ shall all be made alive. Two big groups, and those two groups are identical in person, but they're opposite in effect. Now, did you get that? They're identical in person. Everybody in this group is also in this group. Every one of us died in Adam. And the only way we can get to heaven is to have the new birth. And that is available in Christ. And God has determined that anybody in Christ has that, and we will eternally be blessed. Now you say, well, how do I move from group A to group B? How do I come from the eternally damned to the eternally blessed? Well, look with me, if you will, to John chapter 10 and verse 9. Very important verse here. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You want to move from one to the other, you've got to go through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know that the door is very narrow. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Mommy and daddy, if you know the way, tell your kids. Let them in on the secret. Let them in on the mystery. Because if it's left to their own figuring out, they may just miss it. When it's all said and done, most of the people are going to stay in this group over here. And they're not going to get in Christ. Jesus said, few there be that find it. But that little narrow door is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see, the invitation is to all in that group, everyone. If they will come, there's room. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for me. And if you will go through that door, you can be saved, but there is no other way. I want you to see the entrance very clearly. Verses 12 and 13 of our text says this, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see how it works? You hear the gospel, faith is created in your heart. You use that faith, and you're born again. And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I love that. Let's look at the creation of faith. How is faith created? In a dead person, somebody who's dead in trespasses and in sins, how can faith be created? Well, I'll show you. Right over here in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel message creates the faith right there. If you don't use it, you lose it. Let me show you that. The choice of faith. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, as with Christ, beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Mark it down. You can resist the grace of God. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So when faith is created through the hearing of the gospel message, if I don't use it, I lose it. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said, when the sower went forth to sow, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the birds came and gobbled it up. Now when the disciples said, what does that mean? He said, well, when somebody hears the word and it doesn't take root in them, they don't understand it. The devil comes and snatches away what they've heard. And they're right back where they started. Except that the same grace, now listen to me, the same grace that brings salvation to the one who believes hardens the heart of the one who does not. That's the reason the Lord says, whom he will, he has mercy on. And whom he will, he hardens. And he's told us what his will is. If you believe, you receive mercy. If you reject, your heart's hardened. You can't confront the gospel and stay the same. When the gospel comes to your understanding, you're either going to leave it saved are hard-hearted. Now, you can be brought to that place again and again and again and again. Many people have been brought to the place of salvation many times, but we're not guaranteed a second chance. But the Lord says, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, but not necessarily twice. And whenever we reject Jesus, it's harder the next time. Statistics tell us that 90% of people are saved while they're children. 90%. That means mom and daddy had better know the narrow way and teach it to their children. Because after they get past that, only about 10% of them will ever be redeemed. Why? Because they're going to reject it of their own free will. Now I want you to see the confession of faith. Romans 10:8-14. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, Jesus wants to save you if you're lost. He wants you to go to heaven. If you think you might not be elected, just come down here and get elected. Because if you call on the name of the Lord, he will not turn you away. There's room at the cross for you. Some of you may have said no to Jesus several times. And you may have said, I'll put it off to a more convenient time. I'm going to tell you, today is the day of salvation. There will never be a more convenient time. You may be taken out of this world. Car wrecks, heart attacks, things take people out of the world. And if you say no to Jesus this morning, you may never have another chance. And even if you are back and you hear the gospel again, and it creates faith in you again, it's going to be easier to say no the second time than it is the first. It's going to be easier the third time than it is the fourth. And on and on and on. Now here's my point. If you're satisfied to take your chances on hell, that's one thing. But if you ever plan to move from Adam to Christ, now's the time. Because Jesus stands before you this morning saying, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? I didn't ask you if you're a member of the church. Have you gone through that little door and received Christ as your Savior? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. Thank you, Lord, that you have elected to save us by faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you that you didn't even leave that to us, but you gave us that grace freely. And you gave us the faith to believe. And you give that faith to all that hear the gospel. Lord, I pray that no one would receive that grace in vain this morning.